Well, hello, hello, friends. Welcome to the Not Your Child Road Safety Show, a show dedicated to road safety, sprinkled with entrepreneurship, with a hospitality cherry on top. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm your host, Julia Matthews, aka the Breathalyzer Girl, and owner of Not Your Child Corp, a Canadian company dedicated to, you guessed it, road safety. Check us out when you have a chance at notyourchild.com. Now, as usual, we'll start off our lovely day today with a couple feel-good songs to keep you company behind the wheel. And then we head right into our discussion section, move right back into some more feel-good music, and finally, as all good things come to an end, we close with our quote of the day. So what do you say? Stick around with me for a great show? Well, buckle up your seatbelts and let's dive into the Not Your Child Road Safety Show.
Love puts you through. months now, friends, very soon we will have our mentor to entrepreneurs and author of Big Gorgeous Goals, businesswoman, mother, and keynote speaker, Miss Julie Ellis. She's coming right up after our musical selection. And friends, here is the Four Tops, an American vocal quartet hailing from Detroit, Michigan, with I Can't Help Myself. I love this song. And hello again, friends. So today, as I said before, we have with us mentor to entrepreneurs, myself included, and author, Miss Julie Ellis. We have spoken with Julie before about entrepreneurship before her gem of a book was published. And now she's back, as she promised, to speak about some of the gems in her new book, Big Gorgeous Goals: How Bold Women Achieve Great Things. Now, listeners, we have a lot to cover, so we will jump straight into it. Julie, good morning, and thank you very much for spending some time with us again today.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Of course, of course. So let's jump in. So let's begin. On page 4, you talked about setting a big, gorgeous goal, and you said, "Setting a big gorgeous goal prompted me to leave my day job and find the life I wanted." What I want to know is, what kind of support was needed for you for this stage? Because I know you're a family woman, and I know a lot of women that may not have, you know, a supportive family or partner. So what kind of support, like, did you need to start to reach for the life that you wanted? Did you like have to sell the vision to them in that way, or how did it go for you?
Well, for a long time, I put my head down and worked hard. So that meant I kept my corporate job and I started the business. And, you know, it reached a point where I had so many spinning plates that I was trying to keep going with two little kids and a third on the way, that it was actually my husband who pointed out to me that it wasn't sustainable.
Wow.
Wow. And so that was the beginning of a big shift and a scary shift, because the business, although it was growing and needed a lot of attention, it couldn't really afford to pay me that much.
Right.
And so we had a real crossroads around that time, because it was happening for all of the founders. It wasn't just happening for me. And so we needed to basically start taking a chance and paying ourselves so that we could start the process of, you know, we paid ourselves a really small amount in the beginning. It was something like $500 a month. And then we paid ourselves $1,000 a month. And then, you know, and slowly we built up salaries, but we had to do, you know, and there was sort of like, listen, if I could get $1,000 a month, I could at least, you know, pay for my housing.
Yes.
And so, you know, we started like that and we inched our way forward. Until we were making salaries that were more comparable to what the jobs were that we had left.
Okay. Okay. Well, under Outward and Upward, it really resonated with me because you mentioned systems.
Yes.
And yeah, systems. And you said women who set big, gorgeous goals and achieve them find systems to reach their dreams. And like that really resonated with me because, you know, just thinking or having the whiteboard space, as you mentioned so many times in the book too, to think everything that works in our universe needs a system, the solar system, you know, like to keep everything oscillating and everything like that. And So I found that really, really interesting and insightful when you said it, because if you don't have a system, you can't really keep up, you know, with a lot of the tasks that you have. Right.
Well, and that was sort of the interesting part, I would say, Julia, about interviewing all the people that were in the book, because some of those people are like big, big dream thinkers, like they're out there in the universe thinking big, but they recognize that there needs to be a system that supports that big thinking in order for them to do their great things. They might not be the person who can make the system, run the system, be the system.
Right.
But they know they need it. Yeah. And then there are other women who come at it who can make the system, be the system, are the system. They see it, they visualize it, but they see it as a stepping stone to the big thing that they're chasing. Right. And so it was super interesting to me that no matter which angle people came to it from, they saw the same needs. They just maybe had different skills around what part of the need they could fill. Which I think is very true, right? It's very true of how we are as entrepreneurs.
Yes. Yeah. There was a lot of, it took me a while to read this book because there were some times when I would be stuck on a paragraph for a couple of days. Because, you know, sometimes you have to think about it and remember and apply it to what you remember and then think about it in a different context way. So like what I really love too is the explanation. The way how you lay it out was so great, and with the explanations at the beginning of each chapter. One of them, because we're going in order now, when you say the box, and it says a container with a flat base and sides, typically square or rectangle, and having a lid. And you know, like you talk about basically what is your box? Identify how we keep the lid on ourselves. You know what I mean?
And well, we totally constrain ourselves, right? I mean, we don't. We're our own worst enemies.
Yeah, in a lot of ways,
you know. And I think that is, you know, where you can find yourself stuck. And where you put yourself into like a smaller container than you deserve to be in.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're feeling really unsure, and I talk about this a little bit in the box, or in the book rather, the box gets smaller and smaller and smaller because you become more and more uncertain.
Yes. And the conditioning too. And I remember, and I'm going to get to it, but I remember in the book you said making decisions is about trusting yourselves. And I know I'm not there yet, but I mean, it, everything ties together for me in it. And the box explanation, it's so funny how you don't remember what you remember, but the box explanation, right as soon as I read that, I remember a story when I was a little girl, somebody told me, I don't remember who it was, but said to me that they used to have these jumping fleas. Like it was just a story. It was like jumping fleas. And like they kept a lid on them. And they will keep hitting their head. So the fleas learn to just jump only so far to the point where they didn't even need the lid anymore to keep them in the box.
Right.
Right.
Yes. So, and that really feels accurate. Like what happens, right? Mm-hmm. You put yourself in a small place that confines you and you don't know how to get out of it. And so you, in fact, just start playing smaller.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's jump to 90% overcoming small thinking. And here's a keen insight. Like when you set out to achieve something big, this is what you say. When you set out to achieve something big, you're at a place of opportunity unless sabotaging voices in your head take control. And then and you also says, and as my story above demonstrates, sometimes those voices are strongest after a huge success, when you're on a plateau and preparing to start another climb. Like that one is important for us to remember.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that happened to me as I sat on the plateau after we sold Mabel's Labels, which was a huge pinnacle, huge. Mm-hmm. I was not, after climbing for like at least a dozen years.
I'm here.
Sorry.
That's okay.
After, you know, climbing and climbing and climbing and pinnacle after pinnacle, and we were probably not inclined to appreciate the good things we were doing. We could always see we could do more, we could do better, we could climb farther. And so, you know, suddenly reaching the plateau where you should rest, restore, dream, imagine, reinvent, and grow from there to start another climb. And I was wildly uncomfortable. I didn't know what to do with it. And I was stuck in a bit of a cycle of grief for this business that I loved so much that was gone. And so it, you know, I got a little bit stuck there. And in fact, it didn't turn into a plateau. It turned into a bit of a slide back. And it was really hard to get out of that spot.
You know what, Julie, the reason I love this book too, is because you touch on so many themes. I don't know if it's particular to women because I've never been a man, but it comes back to awareness and feeling and having that instinct. First of all, you have to be really, really involved in your business to be able to feel, as you say, the feeling. And then before and afterwards, you talk about the infection, right, that we're going to get to. But to feel like when it is, you have to be able to feel into it. So that's interesting to me. But I will get there. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. When you, this is something else that also resonated to with me deeply, is jump to page 17. And I wrote it here, the clients we deserve. Because you said something in me knew I needed to start seeking out the clients I deserve to believe in my own abilities. Yeah. And you know, like that was just like an aha moment for me too, because it reminds me kind of an Oprah quote when she says, when you undervalue what you do, the world will undervalue who you are. Yes. And I remember like throughout this year and last year, I had to, you know, fire some bad clients, like some clients that were kind of shady or not paying. And now I feel as if, like, you know, if I can't have a good, reasonable conversation with someone, or if I feel something is off, they can buy the product, but I will shy away from actually doing business with them. You know what I mean? Like it's, you know, and I think it's like a matter of self-respect too, you know, like especially especially when you know the effort that you and your team puts in, or if you know that you go above and beyond, and you know, like, you know, some people take kindness for weakness, I guess, you know, it's really focusing on like your values and seeing who are, if people align with those values. So, and this is something that I find even in personal relationships with women, a lot of times we don't really value what we bring to the table because it's kind of seen as a supposed to be. I don't know if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, no, I think valuing ourselves is super, super important. LinkedIn did a survey and collected the results from a lot of people. And what they discovered was women need nearly 100% of the qualifications to apply for a job, whereas men apply for jobs with about 60% of the qualifications needed. Hmm. And then in addition to that, women apply for about 20% less jobs than men. So we set ourselves back in those requirements because we feel the need to be perfect before we step out and put ourselves out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think, you know, that's a huge loss. It's a huge loss for corporations, for people who are looking for people to fill roles. Like, it's a huge loss, but it's also a huge loss for us as individuals.
Yes. Yes. Because what are you teaching yourself? You know,
absolutely.
What are you teaching?
And, you know, is 60% too little? Is 100% too much? What's the right amount? I don't know. That's not really, it just interests me. The difference, and it's quite stark, really. Mm-hmm. And so I think we've got to just, you know, put ourselves out there and go after what we want. And, you know, when your perfect job or your dream opportunity or a door opens for you, I think you've got to deal with the fact that you might not feel quite ready and go for it.
Yeah. And you know what? That's another theme in the book too, that I found what I really appreciated, which was the growing up of yourself.
We'll be right back after some more feel good music. And here, friends, is Mr. Sam Cooke with You Send Me.
Darling, you send me. Honest you do, oh, you thrill me. I know you thrill me. Darling, you thrill me. Honest you do. At first I thought it was infatuation, but it's lasted so long. Now I find myself wanting to marry you and take you home. Whoa. Lasted so long. Now I find myself wanting to marry you and take you home. I know, I know, I know. You send me. I know you send me. Whoa, whoa.
what I got from the book is you will change.
Right.
Because when you start to change your business, and you will have to change, because basically, even for this big, gorgeous goal, you become worthy of the big, gorgeous goal through the journey of it. Once you stick through to it, like, you will change. Julie, let me tell you, that's something that stuck, and I'm not there yet, but it stuck with me, it resonated with me, because I've seen myself change too slowly, change. Because I've had to deal with the demands of what I'm doing. And it's good, because you build more respect for yourself, and it's kind of thrilling a bit, because we don't know what we're capable of, you know? And it makes you fall in love with the journey more. Mm-hmm. And then it tied into another book that I was reading, and the quote said, "He who loves to walk will walk further than he who loves the destination."
Right.
So, like, that tied into this for me, because it was like, not only is your big, gorgeous goal, but it's who you become while you pursue that big, gorgeous goal. So it's like that, the journey to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and the interesting, thing that I think about that quote, I've never heard it before. And what strikes me is that I don't think of a big, gorgeous goal as a destination.
Right.
I think of it as a journey. I think of it as a journey. And it is what we learn as we walk along that path. And it's, to me, it's not about getting there. It's about getting farther than we ever could have gotten if we had thought small.
Yes.
And exactly. So, and so, you know, the actual destination might look quite different than where you thought you were going at the beginning, but the amazingness that happened in the journey and what you've been able to get to far exceeds, you know, something safe, box checking, and list oriented.
Yes, exactly right. And that goes straight into the next point, which was don't play small, which I loved. We're still on page 17, listeners. So you said, understanding why and how you are stuck and how small that makes your world can be difficult. But if you grasp the why, you can change things for the future by being aware of how to avoid your own pitfalls. And I have here, yes, awareness is everything. Yes. So what I want to know is, for me, what helps me with my awareness is meditation in the morning. Like, I love waking up before the sun, and naturally I wake up early, my early bird anyway, but I love it. That solitude before the sun comes up is really good for me mentally and emotionally. So I want to know, for you, what keeps you aware? Like, how do you get into that awareness thing? What do you do?
I often use people around me. Mm-hmm. So some of it is, you know, sitting back, you're right, and doing some reflection, right? So I'll sit back and reflect on, okay, what might I not know about this? Like, what do I know I don't know? But where might my real blind spots be around that, the things I don't know what I don't know, right? And so, you know, if I really don't know what I don't know, I'm not going to find them. Mm-hmm. So that's where there's like an internal process of like trying to stay aware and trying not to get too far down into the depth of the details, mm-hmm. that you lose the bigger picture.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, how do you take yourself up, look at that bigger picture, get back to work and back down to the details? And how do you find a rhythm in that, mm-hmm. so that you can reflect and look at the whole idea? And then I go to some of my other pieces, which is other people. So mentors, colleagues, good friends, mm-hmm. You know, all of those kinds of pieces that come back around, and it'd be like, hey, do you know anybody who's done something like this before? I don't know this section, or, you know, what you're trying to, or somebody who will just be like, but haven't you thought about this? And you're like, oh, yeah. No, I haven't. Right. So those sounding boards.
Right. And that goes right into the next thing that I said here, which is, I see that the vision and awareness is another recurring theme. And what you say here. You said, I did this by taking time to visualize what success would look like, what needed to happen to tell me I was on the right path. Once I could see where I was going, I then needed to connect to this vision regularly. At first, I reminded myself of it every single day. Then I needed to figure out how to take the necessary steps so that to forward so that I could start realizing. And here it says, I put the note, without a vision, the people perish. And it's like having a vision is so important. The big picture goal. Yes, go ahead. I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
It's where like the dance begins, right? Mm-hmm. And it is like a dance between the high level vision and back to the steps you've got to take and taking, you know, moving forward a little bit and checking in and coming back. And, you know, and so there's this rhythm that has to develop, which is where it feels like a dance to me.
Yes.
Of, you know, you can't stay in the vision, but you can't ignore the vision and stay in the tactical. So you've got to find a way of, you know, moving back and forth between them. And it probably needs to be deliberate because it's really easy to get caught in one or the other, depending on what you're good at, right? So if you're really good at vision, you're going to lose details and you're going to stay up there where you're comfortable and where it's fun. Mm-hmm. If you're really good at detail and execution and planning and operational strength, which is where I am, I can clear out a lot of things in a day and get a lot of stuff done off a to-do list while I'm ignoring that vision. So my way of doing that is to make dates with myself to connect with the vision.
Right.
You know, and to honor those, because the other thing about it is you can create all the things you want, but if you don't honor them, then you're having other problems. Right?
Yes, exactly. Like honor your commitments that you make even to yourself. So, So here, let's talk about IDing the right people as well. And this was a really great. Well, first of all, before I even go there, I have here, it says this, because you have here, I reminded myself that we all take two steps forward and then slide back a little. That's just part of the process, not something to be discouraged about. And I was like, yes, I put it, yes, this, exclamation, because that's something to remember. Like, not because we're struggling means we're not succeeding in some way, right?
Yes. Yeah, everybody struggles.
Yeah.
You know, but in a way, that's why, you know, the book has the 90 and the 10 motif, is because that's the iceberg, right? 10% is above the water. And it's the part we see, which is the, you know, it's the highlight reel of people's lives, right? Mm-hmm. It's the Facebook, you know, or fake book or whatever people call it, right? Those things where it's like a highlight reel. Yeah. And so it doesn't, you know, we founded a business in a basement that after 12 years, we sold for 8 figures. Mm-hmm. You know, we were not an overnight success, but it kind of looks that way when you're, you know, at the end, like, we built a great business. We won some awards as entrepreneurs. We were able to sell it to the leader in our industry. Mm-hmm. And that's the highlight reel right there. But like, it does not talk about the 3 a.m.s and the, you know, times when we thought like we were never going to get the business back on track because we had such problems with, you know, A, B, or C, whatever that thing was in the moment. Right. And so it really is like, it takes a lot of perseverance, and that's that 90%, right?
Yeah.
And so this book is about like a big, gorgeous goal is 10%, the iceberg above the water, but 90% is the systems, the processes, and the people that actually make them possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now there is something that I wanted you to clear up for me, because this one I couldn't wrap my head around. And maybe it's as you say, my limited view because of my perception from it from Julia Land. So on page 19, we said avoid the checklist manifesto. Now you said making time for big thinking is important, so much so that you need to schedule it in your calendar. Otherwise, you know, without even realizing it, you may get caught up in a day to day. And you said you may in fact simply be avoiding and look at a wider view when you're stuck mm-hmm. in a place that feels small. And you said this is a trap laid by fears to keep yourself busy, productive, but you can't see the blue sky goals you need for long-term progress. Now, the thing is, in what I was trying to apply it to me,
right?
And I'm thinking, but it's opposite for me, because when I do the big dreaming and the big dreaming, mm-hmm. and then the list comes from the big dreaming. So like,
so you have a big goal. So this is where I think you've got to be careful, right? Mm-hmm. So the checklist manifesto zone is the zone where you're ignoring making the big goal, where you're undervaluing yourself, you're putting yourself in a box that's too small, and you're sitting in a place that you make comfortable by feeling productive.
Oh.
And that productivity comes from that checklist of things. Oh, my inbox is cleared out. Well, my invoicing is done.
Oh,
well,
okay.
My, you know, all of those things, right? It yeah. comes from being disconnected from a big, gorgeous goal.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Okay.
But I agree with you 100%. In order to achieve big, gorgeous goals, you have to go into execution mode on some level. It's yeah. not losing the connection to the vision. It's the dance.
Right. So since we're on our roll and we have a lot to cover, let's go to page 20 here. Now, this really was like serendipity for me, because I was the same thing that I was talking about walking and the father and walking farther than, you know, than who, you know, loves the destination. And like you said here, this fear may keep you small. You've done something wonderful, but now you feel like you have something to outdo. Now, my yeah. thing is, if you, yeah, is the perception on the way of you're looking right. at it, right? Right. So I put here in the notes, she's saying be journey focused, not necessarily yeah. only goal focused. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and yes, definitely. And that, like, don't get caught in that fear of, oh, I pulled a rabbit out of the hat. How am I going to pull another one out? And how will it be bigger and better?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And being journey focused is a great way of looking at it rather than destination focused, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fret not, friends. We had a lot to discuss. So we will be back next week to continue our discussion with Miss Julie Ellis, author of Big Gorgeous Goals.
And who remembers Barry Manilow? Remember the song, Could It Be Magic? Long time, huh? Yeah, yeah. Well, here it is, Could It Be Magic by Barry Manilow.
Done, baby, I love you, come.
but oh Lord, why don't we? We all know that people are the same wherever you go. There is good and bad in everyone. Learn to live, learn to give each other what we need to survive, together alive. Ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony, side by side on my piano.
You are the type of person that gives blood, or if you even ever thought about giving blood, but if you have, please do us a small favor and join our Partners for Life team with blood.ca. Just head to blood.ca and look for Team Not Your Child Corp. When you join us there, every donation you make will count toward our pledge to Canadian families. Head over to blood.ca and make your appointment today under our team, Team Not Your Child Corp.
There was a time when all that I wanted was to be alone. Running around nothing, holding me down. I was on my own. Now I never thought I would feel like this. My friends and I would laugh at all that corny stuff. Guys who took it serious, saying that could never be us. Now I want somebody to love me, to share my dreams, be on my team, yeah. Now I want somebody to need me, and all I see is you for me. Now I want somebody to love me, to share my dreams, be on my team. Now I want somebody to need me, and all I see is you for me. start to look the same. Love him and leave him, cheat and deceive him. That was my game. I never thought this could happen to me. After all these years, I laughed when they would fall for me, acting so selfishly. Now I guess the joke is on me. Now I want somebody to love me, to share my dreams, be on my team, girl. Now I want somebody to need me, and all I see is you for me. Now I want somebody to love me, to share my dreams, be on my team.
Oh, forget about it.
Friends, you know we like to wind it all down for you with the quote of the day. And today's quote comes to us by Mr. Michel de Montaigne. And he says, "I do not care so much what I am to others as I care what I am to myself." That comes to us by Mr. Michel de Montaigne. I do not care so much what I am to others as I care what I am to myself.
Well, thanks for joining us today, friends, on the Not Your Child Road Safety Show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember, head to notyourchild.com/radio show to submit any questions, comments, or shout outs you want us to address on the next show. Until then, friends, I hope you continue having a lovely day. And remember our golden rule: when you feel different, you drive different. Drive sober. Ciao.
Long and I felt strong ever since we met.
when you feel the tensions go, mentally calm becomes the body, the mind, and the soul. Let's cut to the chase before the time we waste away, so we can enjoy the walk, conversational play. Take a cruise to nowhere. Is anyone out there? Who cares? As long as you're here with me, the best is yet to come. Together we'll be as one. Our love has just begun. Guaranteed, my love, I'll never go away. As long as you're around. I wish I could laugh.